Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly, the films Is This Thing On?, A Private Life, and Cover Up.
I'd like to start today by talking about Bradley Cooper's new movie called Is This Thing On? He's not in it. But he directed it, and he co-wrote it. He's actually an interesting filmmaker, I think. His version of A Star is Born way back in 2018 was, I think, quite good. And his more recent film about 3 years ago called Maestro about Leonard Bernstein was really good. So he's a good director, and he's directed this movie. But in this case, the big star is Will Arnett, and the big other star is Laura Dern. And Is This Thing On is a kind of a mild-mannered divorce movie. That's basically what it is, I would say. So what we have here is a couple whose marriage is obviously falling apart. And that is one of the most common things that you can possibly have in the movies. This movie, fortunately, takes a mildly original approach to the whole thing. So what are they going to do? They're just not getting along, and they have kids, and they have to explain things to the youngsters and all that. And they have their own little difficulties and their squabbles and their quarrels. But the interesting thing is they're not at war with each other. This is not the War of the Roses. It's not the Roses. They keep getting along quite well. And in fact, what a whole lot of this movie, which, by the way, is a little over 2 hours long, it doesn't have to be that long. One of the big things that happens in this movie is that they keep drifting apart and then drifting back toward each other and then drifting apart and then drifting back toward each other. So that's kind of mildly interesting. Now, the big thing for me that happens in the movie is that the main male character played by Will Arnett, his name, by the way, is Alex and her name is Tess, is that he just sort of accidentally stumbles into the idea of doing stand-up comedy. He actually wants to go to a saloon to have a drink, and he doesn't have any money on him. And it turns out if he agrees to go before the open mic, they'll let him in. Okay, so he does that. And he just sort of rambles on a little bit and makes up some stuff. But he enjoys it, and the audience seems to think it's okay. And so he starts going back and doing more and more of that. So that's kind of interesting. That's one of the big themes of the movie, is this guy sort of rediscovering himself, maybe in a small sort of a way reinventing himself through something that he had never even thought about before. And then in the meantime, we have scenes that involve Tess, played by Laura Dern, and she gets involved with various friends of hers, and they have their little gossip and their little support sessions and things like that. So I mentioned before that Bradley Cooper, he isn't in the movie. He doesn't star in it. It's really, I think, largely Will Arnett's movie. It's also, to a lesser extent, Laura Dern's movie, but it's a movie which is very much, very much centered on those two actors and on those two characters. Now, the thing about Is This Thing On? Is that it's just not a very exciting or a very conclusive movie. Again, I rather liked the way that it did not deal with a war between this divorcing couple, and you keep thinking through the whole movie, maybe they'll end up back together again, or maybe they won't, or maybe they will, and it's kind of fun to follow that. But my gosh, the movie doesn't ever seem to have its own point of view about this. They're just sort of going back and forth and forth and back, and well, it just ends up not having very much punch to it for that reason. If you want to enjoy Is This Thing On?, which has a question mark, by the way, so I should say it that way. If you want to enjoy Is This Thing On?, you have to enjoy it as just kind of a very loose-limbed, loose-leafed kind of an affair that just sort of goes on and takes its time and meanders, and that's the fun of it, and that's also the shortcoming of it. It's, to my own personal eye, Will Arnett has a slight physical resemblance to the very great actor John Cassavetes. Most people will think of him in association with Rosemary's Baby or maybe The Dirty Dozen. But Cassavetes was a very, very fine actor. And he also, not those two movies, but he directed quite a few movies of his own, which were very eccentric and very non-conventional and didn't follow the usual storytelling patterns. And Is This Thing On? reminds me a little bit of a Cassavetes movie. Not one of his great movies like A Woman Under the Influence or The Killing of a Chinese Bookie or Opening Night, but one of his sort of second-rate movies. So Is This Thing On strikes me as sort of like, for those who can follow this reference, a second-tier, lower-tier John Cassavetes movie, which is to say it rambles, it takes its own time, it doesn't follow the usual storytelling patterns, and it's kind of fun. In this case, it's not nearly as much fun as any great movie, certainly not as much fun as a great Cassavetes movie, but it's an interesting movie, it has its own sort of quirky charm, and if you're not looking for a great evening at the movies, it might be, you know, worth checking out. Next of all, I would like to talk about a French film called Vie Privée, or A Private Life. And this is a movie which is directed and co-written by Rebecca Zlotowski. And the most interesting single thing about A Private Life is that it is very, very much a French movie, and the star of it is very, very much Jodie Foster. And she, as we all know, is not French, but oh, it turns out that she speaks French fluently. Apparently the French language has been with her since childhood. So she is a really good French speaker, and she does, to my ear, a terrific job of just playing an American woman who has been living in France for a very, very long time. She was married in France. She still has her ex-husband, with whom, by the way, she gets along beautifully. He's still in France, in Paris. Her son is very, very French and has his own little baby. So they're a whole French family, even though she originally comes from America. So, yeah, she's speaking French with an American accent, I guess. But she is very much a French woman played by Jodie Foster. And the character played by Jodie Foster, her name is Lillian Steiner. She is a psychoanalyst. She's apparently a medical doctor, and she is very much a psychoanalyst. And the movie starts to really happen when a patient of hers shows up, and he's really, really, really angry with her because he paid her a fortune, and he had all of these sessions with her, and it was all to quit smoking, and he never succeeded in quitting smoking. And now he has gone off to an alternative healer who had one session with him, and he hasn't smoked since. So he's furious at the Jodie Foster character, Lillian, and he's just really, really angry. And that's the start of the movie. Well, in the meanwhile, Lillian, the Jodie Foster character, is going through a little crisis of her own. Suddenly, tears are coming from her eyes. She can't seem to stop crying, which is something she normally does. So what's she going to do? Now, her ex-husband turns out to be an ophthalmologist, a physician for the eyes. She goes and sees him. He says, there's nothing I can do for you. It's just happening. It'll stop one of these days. And then she decides to take a chance and go off to this alternative healer to see if she can stop these drops coming out of her eyes. Well, that's how the whole movie really gets underway. Now, this movie is a very interesting film in various ways. I don't think it quite works, and the problem with it is that it's really a mashup. It's partly about the medical profession. A couple of the major characters, Lillian and her ex-husband, Gabrielle, they are physicians. Okay, that's fine. Then we also have the alternative healer who is involved with hypnosis, and it's a weird kind of hypnosis. It seems to kick in instantly and work wonders. So that's another theme of it, the idea of alternative healing and of hypnosis. Then we have these sort of psychedelic scenes that pop up a couple of times in the movie when Lillian, our main character, is under hypnosis, and she seems to enter a really strange, surrealistic dream world where strange, weird things are happening. And it's sort of like psychoanalysis. Remember, she is a psychoanalyst. It is sort of like psychoanalysis where you explore your dreams and your fantasies and your hidden life. This movie is called Private Life, so it's very much about one's hidden life, maybe even hidden from oneself if it's your unconscious. We have those scenes. Then it totally turns into a murder mystery because, yes, somebody has died also pretty early in the movie, and now Lillian, our main character, and also with help from her husband, Gabrielle, is trying to solve the murder. Who was the murderer? Who committed the murder? Why did it happen? How did it happen? And so we have murder mystery scenes. Like, for example, Lillian, the psychoanalyst, breaking into somebody's house and poking around looking for a certain clue, and her husband helping by distracting the guy who lives there. So, again, the problem with Private Life is that it is just too much of a mishmash. It's really interesting to see all these things sort of squeezed into one movie, but in the end, it doesn't sort of all hold together, and the end of it I found really quite limp in various ways. Now, one other important thing about A Private Life is that it has a really good cast. I've mentioned Jodie Foster, who was terrific as Lillian Steimer, again, speaking wonderful French. By the way, I should mention one other little sub-theme in the movie is that a couple of the main characters are Jewish, and so we have a little bit in the movie about anti-Semitism and Jewishness, and there's a Jewish funeral and so forth. So that's yet another thing mishmashed into this movie. But Jodie Foster gives a fine performance. The main male character, her ex-husband, is played by Daniel Auteuil, one of the great French actors. He's been around for a very, very long time, and he's wonderful. Mathieu Amalric, another very, very fine character, has a very important role in the movie, the husband of the woman who was murdered. Irène Jacob, another very, very fine French actor, she's in this movie. And there's even a tiny little part played by Frederick Wiseman, the great, great, great American documentary maker. He plays a psychoanalyst who pops up very briefly in the movie. So again, what's interesting about the movie is also its flaw. There is just too much and too much different kinds of stuff jammed into this movie without complete success. That said, I had a good time watching it, even though at the end I said, oh, maybe they could have left out a couple of these subplots and sub-themes, and we would have had a more successful and perhaps more directly focused movie. A Private Life, deeply they, good movie, but as I often say, not a great movie. Finally, a documentary, a movie called Cover Up, co-directed by Laura Poitras and Mark Obenhaus. Laura Poitras has been around for quite a while, and she makes very, very powerful, politically committed documentaries. I'll just mention a couple. One was Citizen Four, about the hugely controversial Edward Snowden. Another one was All the Beauty and the Bloodshed, which dealt with the Sackler family and the opioid crisis in America. So that's the kind of movie that she makes. Very, very directly politically involved movies. And this is another one. In this case, Cover Up, her brand new movie, is about the American journalist Seymour Hersh, who did really, really important work in bygone times. And he's still very much around, and he's still very much the focus of this movie. He appears in the movie. The main part of the movie is interviewing him. Now, what did Seymour Hersh do? He reported on and broke incredibly important news about the Vietnam War and war crimes committed by American troops, the famous My Lai massacre and all of that. Okay. Also, the secret bombing of Cambodia by the United States under Richard Nixon. He did important reporting on the Watergate scandal. He was not way up there in the forefront like Woodward and Bernstein, but he did a lot of reporting about that, too. He dealt with the horrible things that happened in the Abu Ghraib prison during the United States War on Terror. So he did all of these different things and was heavily involved and broke, again, a lot of tremendously important news. And this movie discusses all that through this basically feature-length interview with Seymour Hersh with a lot of cutaways to other material. Now, his career was not nothing but unbroken success. At one point, he was writing a book about the Kennedy family, and he was including a discussion of some letters discovered that had been passed between John F. Kennedy and Marilyn Monroe, and they turned out to be forgeries, and that was a tremendous embarrassment for Seymour Hersh. And that's covered in the movie, too. So, again, the movie cuts away to lots of different material. We have newsreel material. We have other people talking in various ways during the movie. But mainly, it's a feature-length interview with Seymour Hersh. And he really, really is a fascinating character. At one point, he gets really, really angry at Laura Poitras. He finds out that she has in her notes all kinds of material that he didn't really want to give her. And now she has it, and what's going to happen with that? It has people's names in it, and he gets furious. And it's really interesting to see that happen. And it's also really interesting that Laura Poitras and Mark Obenhaus left this in their movie. It's just interesting stuff. Seymour Hersh turns out to be a really good interview subject. He's very articulate, which is not surprising. He's a hugely important and very, very long-time veteran journalist. But he's a very articulate talker as well. He's very candid about himself. He put off Laura Poitras from making this movie for about 20 years. She wanted to start making it in the early 2000s, and he refused. Eventually, she kept after him. Years and years and years went by, and eventually he decided that he would, okay, he would go along with it and do it. And that's the movie that we have now. If you're interested in journalism, if you're interested in American politics, if you're interested in contemporary history from the later part of the 20th century right up to our own time, then this is a movie not to miss. It's fascinating, it's articulate, it's intelligent, and it's a movie that I really, really had a good time watching. Cover Up, Don't Cover It Up. One of the best documentaries I've seen in quite a while. And that is my somewhat fictional, somewhat documentary story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus. The films, Is This Thing On?, A Private Life, and Cover Up.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.